Welcome back. Pope Francis recently proclaimed two of his predecessors saints. What does the word saint mean? How does one become a saint? And what relationship do followers of the faith have with saints? We want to explore those questions in the context of Islam. Do Muslims have a concept of sainthood as well? Who would Muslims refer to as saints? Dr. Shabir Ali joins me. Now, Dr. Shabir Ali, welcome to Let the Quran Speak.
Pleasure to be on.
Now, I'm sure you know that the Pope has canonized two individuals, two previous popes, and many people were watching and happy about that. So the question is there an idea of saints in Islam as well, and how is it similar and different to Catholicism?
As you've described, in Catholicism, it's obvious that there is an official sanctification of a person, or an official declaration that a certain person is recognized now as a saint. In Islam, there's no such official recognition, but let me speak about what is the closest equivalent that we have. There have been many streams of activity within the Islamic faith, many concerned with academic study of religion, many concerned with the study and preservation of the Quran, of various Islamic sciences. But then there has also been spiritual activity, and people who devote themselves to the remembrance of God. They detach themselves from material things, things of this world. They concentrate a lot on the life hereafter, and so on. They emphasize the love of God, and they try to cultivate that within themselves. These persons came to be known as Sufis, and the name itself seems to have been derived from the fact that because of their asceticism, they had donned ordinary coarse cloth made of wool, mm-hmm. and wool is suf in Arabic, and so they were called Sufis, like the wool wearers. Some others think that the name came from other derivations, but this seems to be the best and most acceptable derivation for this term.
So
they're called Sufis. Well, Sufis are the closest thing that we have to saints. We might say that these are spiritual masters. Mm. They are very much adept at the remembrance of God, focusing on the things of the life hereafter. They emphasize the love of God. And they have developed streams of tradition within the wider stream of spiritual activity. So that their individual paths come to be known as tariqas, or simply paths. Now, within one of these paths, a spiritual master would confer on his disciple what is called an ijazah, or permission to go on and take on other disciples, and hence to pass on this kind of spiritual light or effulgence from master to pupil all the way down. And so to this day, you will have persons who can trace their spiritual connection back to the early period of Islam. Most would trace their spiritual ancestry back to Ali, the cousin and son-in-law of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Some others, the Naqshbandi Tariqa in particular, would trace their inheritance back to Abu Bakr, a close companion of the Prophet.
Mm-hmm. Are there some common characteristics of all of these spiritual masters, as you call them?
Yes, the common characteristic would involve, I think, the three things. One is the detachment from the world. Two is the emphasis on spiritual sorts of activities, like the remembrance of God, meditation, muraqabah. Three would be the emphasis on love as a very important teaching of Islam, starting with the love of God and then ending up with the love of all humanity and all of God's creatures.
Mm-hmm. Now, what sort of relationship would an ordinary Muslim have with these spiritual masters?
Most ordinary Muslims would recognize the big names in the field, like Junaid al-Baghdadi or Maulana Rumi, and several spiritual masters who are known in the field. And of course, these persons have largely become famous, especially Rumi, in the West as well.
Yes.
So non-Muslims know them. Mostly ordinary Muslims would have great respect for these persons as spiritual masters, as
good. What about people who follow them? What sort of relationship would they have with them?
Their followers, those who are within the streams of Sufism, would have utmost respect for these persons as vehicles for the spiritual effulgence which they would believe was left by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and then transmitted or transferred to his close companions, such as Abu Bakr and Ali, and then later on transmitted through this permission system, certification, you might call it, all the way down to our present age.
Mm-hmm. So how is this different from the way the Catholic Church looks at saints? I mean, I can see some differences in the sense that you mentioned before, that the church doesn't confer upon an individual sainthood in Islam. But what other differences are there?
I think the main difference stems from specifically that, the fact that there is no official recognition. First, it would mean that within the lifetime of a person, one could not have this kind of final verdict given on the person, because one does not know how one's life will end, and people are here today and somewhere else tomorrow in terms of their affiliations and their views. So normally one would wait until somebody has passed away to give the final seal of approval, and then the approval is not official, and so some Muslims may regard a certain person as righteous and pious, and some others may think, no, this person does not have views that we recognize. The whole field of Sufism as a collective has been viewed with suspicion on the part of some Muslims.
Mm-hmm. There's been some criticism of this whole idea of awliya, as we turn into English, sainthood, but as you mentioned, spiritual masters, right?
Yes. Now we can look at two competing ideas within Islam. One idea that is generally held, and is in fact is universally followed, is that we derive our understanding of what is Islam from the text of the Quran and from the reports of the life example of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, but that which is found in the Hadith. So these become now the two springs from which we can derive the right information and then form our own judgment about what really is Islam. But the spiritual stream forges a connection of a spiritual kind that in a way can threaten to bypass this physical method of looking at texts and trying to understand the history. Mm-hmm. So if one claims to know God either through a kind of spiritual effulgence that one is filled with, or due to this connection with spiritual masters of the past, then one can theoretically bypass the whole system of looking at texts, and some people have done that. Mm-hmm. However, Sufism itself is a broad stream that has had many different strands of following, and many of the strands have insisted that to be a valid spiritual master, you must also be following the Quran. Mm-hmm. You must take the Quran literally and follow it. You must look closely at the life example of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. In fact, it is noted that Junayd al-Baghdadi, whose name I mentioned previously, would not regard anyone as a spiritual master unless that person was totally in conformity with the rights and obligations of the Islamic faith, just as any ordinary Muslim would be required to follow that.
So do you think that approach, this last approach that you mentioned, makes sense then?
Yes, in that it ties together the two worlds. On the one hand, it says that let's, like every other Muslim, be confined to the practices of Islam as they have been laid out traditionally through the ages. But let's add to that, as like icing on the cake, let's add to that the spiritual element. And this sort of marriage between the two streams has been nicely achieved by Al-Imam Al-Ghazali in his book Ihya Ulum al-Din. He saw that people were, on the one hand, too much concerned with the minutiae of Islamic law, and they forgot the spiritual element, and he tried to relive that spiritual element in the Muslim community, and that's what the name of his book, The Revival, or Ihya, giving a new life to that, to the knowledge of what really is Islam.
All right, we appreciate your insights. Thank you for that, Brother Shabir.
You're welcome.
We'll take a break. When we return, we will answer questions we've received from you, our viewers.